BBC Six Music Podcasts.
Six Music.
This is a free download from the BBC.
Find out more at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic.
And now, Adam and Joe.
Book 'em, bucko.
Yes, I got in there with Book 'em, Bucko.
We're not competitive anymore.
What's Cornish coming back with?
Cuff 'em, cornballs. Quickly, cuff 'em, cornballs. Oh, boy.
That was suggested by James from Glasgow. He said, here's a suggestion for your podcast intro duet from my partner, Nalini, actually. And it's the Hawaii Five-O theme, in case you didn't
guess. It went very well, didn't it?
It went really well, and I was pleased with it.
It's probably going to be released as a single.
You're wearing your sunglasses there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a nice summery intro as well, you know, Hawaii. I'm wearing my shorts for the first time into
beautiful
work.
Beautiful day today. To be perfectly honest, listeners, I can't wait to get this blooming podcast done.
And go out there and start frolicking.
Yeah, and get my tits out.
Get your... You know, that's a four-letter...
Are you allowed to say that?
It's a four-letter T-bomb. I mean, we're letting it slide... But if you said
they're man breasts, so it doesn't have the same sort of reductive sexist connotations as if I was a woman and said that, or if I said that about a woman.
Yeah. Still on the list. It's still on the list.
Yeah.
If you said that on a local BBC radio station during like an afternoon family show or something, you'd be in big trouble, Ox.
Yeah. Well, lucky we're not.
Yeah.
We're an early morning show for highly educated sophisticates.
We are trusting our sophisticated podcast listeners not to be offended by Joe's absolutely flagrant disregard for the swearing guidelines and dropping the T-bomb at such an early stage.
We'll be back to say goodbye at the end of the podcast, listeners. But until then, enjoy these highlights.
Highlights. Look at my highlights. They look nice in my head.
Hello and welcome to the big British castle. We hope you're having lots of jolly fun. Please obey the rules when you're inside the castle, or we'll jolly have to throw you jolly out upon your ass.
We were thinking we should push the Black Squadron commands in a more serious direction. Not more serious, but just a more testing and challenging direction.
Test the allegiance of the squadron members.
They're supposed to be an elite stealth force, right?
That's right, yeah.
And they're like the SAS, and any challenge that they will do, they'll do anything.
9 o'clock club.
And if they won't do anything, then get out of the squadron.
Get out of the squadron.
That's the approach, isn't it?
Yeah, if you've just tuned in, you've never heard this show before. Black Squadron is what we call the people that listen loyally from 9 until 9:30, the elite early listening force to the live show.
So we've got a command for this morning, right?
Yeah. Yeah, do you want to issue it?
Okay, well, this is the command. You've got to write the words Black Squadron on your face and you've got to keep it written there for as long as possible, not just beyond the first half hour of the program, but all day.
So here's like the ultimate test, right?
Mm.
To provide pictorial proof of this.
Send us a photo of yourself with Black Squadron written across your face.
So it has to be clear that Black Squadron that you've written on your face is the same in the morning as it is in the evening. So you have to take a picture of yourself next to... I don't know, the TV or something.
You don't have to do this, but if you are, you know, a proper elite
right. Of course you
Black
don't have
Squadron,
to.
Well, how would we enforce it?
With the police.
Yeah.
Or something like
Send
that.
Send the police around. They probably would go around.
You reckon?
Yeah. So if you've got the guts to have Black Squadron written on your face and keep it there all day, then you could take a photo of your face, for instance, next to the telly tonight when Britain's Got Talent is on.
When the boiler gets on telly.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to call her the boiler. That came out wrong. But what's her name? Mary Boyle?
Susan.
Susan Boyle, yeah.
I mean, that would just be one way to prove that you'd had it on all day.
Yeah.
And don't try and pose next to a recording of last week's Britain's Got Talent, because we'll figure that out.
We'll figure it out. It has to be Susan Boyle doing her new routine.
Anyway, that's the command. But, you know, it would be impressive if you just wrote Black Squadron on your face and kept it there for the first half hour of the show. That in itself would be impressive.
I'm still chuckling at the idea that it takes guts.
It does take guts.
Like being in the army.
Of course it does.
Great times, great friends, great highlights. The Adam and Joe's Six Music Podcast. It's what extreme boredom was made for. Ah. Excuse me.
I've got a couple of issues, though, with Britain's Got Talent. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, and what's your problem?
My first problem is Amanda Holden.
Yeah.
She's a problem generally, but she keeps saying the words "on behalf of Her Majesty the Queen."
Right.
Have you noticed that?
Yes.
Now, she said it at least twice. On behalf of Her Majesty the Queen, it's a yes. Now, come along, Holden. I mean, that's a beheadable offence, isn't it? What
you
does she mean?
So.
On behalf of the Queen.
Yeah.
Is she talking to the Queen?
It could be that she has a tattoo of the royal seal somewhere about her person.
And that is enough to let you say on behalf of... Yeah, if you've got, I don't think it is.
If you've got an endorsement.
I think if she has, if she isn't actually relaying the Queen's opinions, then that is a treasonable offence. And I think Holden should be beheaded.
Actually beheaded?
Yeah, during Saturday week's episode of Britain's Got Talent.
Well, they could get like a guy, they could get a sort of magician in, right?
And the no, act, I want it for real.
Really? I was going to say that the act could be he appears to behead her, and the joke is he has actually beheaded her.
You're right. That's no, I like that now. Because it adds an extra twist.
Yeah, he's like a kind of Tommy Cooper incompetent magician. Oh no, I've actually cut her head off.
Because that would be good for the ratings.
And he actually has, yeah.
You know, look at how Pondre's divorce has affected the ratings for Pondre's
skyrocketing. It's not the same as actually killing someone on air, though, is it?
Well, beheading isn't really killing. It's a royal execution.
It's a royal execution.
It doesn't really fall under the remit.
It's a clinical procedure. That's not. We're not actually advocating anyone should go and remove Amanda Holden's head, are we? No, we're not. We're not.
Of course
just
not.
Just to make it clear. If there's anyone out there thinking, you know, hey, hang on.
Anyway, the second thing that gets me upset about Britain's Got Talent is something Simon Cowell keeps saying. Mm. He keeps saying, that is the most amazing dance act I've ever seen in my life. That is the most amazing puppy juggling act I've ever seen in my life. Everything seems to be the most amazing thing he's ever seen in his life. What's his life like? Is it just that things just get increasingly amazing during the day, sort of moment to moment for him, so he has to just constantly say, this is the most incredible coffee I've ever drunk in my life. No, this is the most incredible coffee I've ever drunk in my life.
No, they're editing out the bits where he says, this is the 25th most incredible dog juggling act I've ever seen in my life.
He should start being more specific and putting them on a list and, yeah, bringing quoting numbers.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of the most amazing things he's ever seen in his life going on.
This is the 252nd worst ventriloquist act I've ever seen in my life.
I think things just keep getting better for him because they're constantly the best thing.
He's delighted. I mean, he's having
life
a good time.
Life is just a sort of orgasmic parade of revelations for him.
Yeah. Wow, I'm just thinking about that. It's amazing. Do you like his bouncer that comes in with him to protect him from the furious people?
I wouldn't say I like him, but he's a knockabout funster sometimes on the ITV2 show.
He looks
with Stephen Mulhern.
He looks like I haven't seen that one.
Oh, you should see that one.
I have. He looks like the guy from the Munsters, though, Uncle Fester.
Yes,
he's from the Addams Family, Uncle.
But
Fester.
But he's fun loving.
Yeah,
yeah, he's a jolly giant. You know, like the guy in Of Mice and Men.
Right. What's his name?
He sometimes accidentally kills little birds.
Is that Boo Radley?
That's To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh, To Kill a Mockingbird. Who's the gentle giant?
I forget his name. In is it George? He's called George.
George the giant.
I tried to pet it, but I killed it. That kind of thing.
That's what he's doing with a dead fan.
Exactly.
Can I touch your kitten? Oh, dear. I killed it.
Outside my tiny little cafe in Paris, you'll find two men called Adam and Joe. All day they sit just talking away. Sometimes I listen and hear what they say. Blah 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 waffles. Blah 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 pancakes. They're making a podcast apparently. It sounds like a load of old crap to me. Oh, I am making the joke.
So we're going to launch Text the Nation right now, the nation's favourite feature. I've come up with a new jingle. This is a collaborative effort with a listener who sent in a very good rock instrumental version of the Text the Nation jingle.
Yes.
Lee Henman. Also, I've given a little shout out to Lee Henman at the end of the jingle, so you're immortalized in this jingle now, Lee. Thanks so much. Good collaboration. Hope you like what I came up with. Here it is.
Wow. Was that recorded live?
I was live.
In Germany, somewhere in Germany.
It was at the Liebestrassen in Germany.
I thought I recognized the Liebestrassen.
You recognize the dynamics.
The acoustics, yeah. I've got a setting on my amplifier that is the what?
Liebestrassen.
The Liebestrassen, yeah. Wow, that was very powerful stuff.
It's
well
where
done.
It's where we saw Bowie on the Glass Spider tour.
I'll never forget that night.
Thank you very much, though, Lee. Cheers. And, you know, if you feel similarly moved to send us an instrumental bass for any of our jingles that we use on this show that we can retool, please
yes,
do so.
Absolutely. So Text the Nation this week, listeners, is kind of coming from the fact that for the last 2 weeks, my lovely lady partner's been away.
She's been working in France.
She's been working in the Cannes Film Festival. So I've been alone at home for 2 weeks.
Macaulay Culkin.
Now, she's back this weekend, so, you know, don't panic or worry. But it's been an interesting 2 weeks for me being home alone. And I thought this is something a lot of people probably experience every now and then. Mm-hmm. If you've got a family, when they go and stay with some sort of a relative, if you cohabit, when your cohabitees go away. But to be in your house on your own for a sustained period of time is an interesting experience. For me, it started with a feeling of terrific freedom and emancipation, almost. Excitement at the things I could get up to in an unmonitored, unfettered manner.
But this is most recently. You're not talking about the very first time you were left.
No, this is every time. Every time I'm left alone in the house, sure. It starts with an initial sense of freedom and excitement. But then, over the days, becomes melancholy and slightly sad and insane and unhygienic.
When you think maybe the people who are supposed to be looking after you aren't coming back.
Exactly. Yeah. When the post starts piling up, you know, things get very, very dusty and messy. And yeah. Basically when you run out of pants.
Right.
That's the key problem that happens.
And food.
And food. That was happening as well. My diet has suffered.
Yeah. Are you Johnny Takeaways now?
Not takeaways, but a lot of fish pies.
Fish pies.
A lot of fish pies.
Did she not freeze a whole load of dishes for you before she left?
No.
What kind of cohabitee have you got there?
That's just liberated. So listen, I've written a kind of top 6 or 7 things I like to do when my girlfriend goes away and I'm alone in the house.
Yeah.
The first thing is very loud music.
Sure.
I mean, everything very loud. Because she's very respectful of the neighbours. And when she goes away, I'm less so.
Are you?
And I think nothing of playing a film. Really loud.
Crank up the surround.
Yeah, the radio really loud, the telly really loud. Having them all on in every room so I don't have to go through the effort of switching them on
right.
when I enter the room. Just keep them on all the time, like a kind of department store.
Uh-huh.
You know, oh, what's going on in here? Oh, it's the telly. Oh, what's going on? It's the radio's on in here. Wicked. Oh, there's someone chatting in the bedroom. Oh, it's Radio 4.
I'm going to move the telly into the toilet. Woohoo!
Oh, that's a good idea. So that kind of thing. Naked, dancing.
Sure.
A lot of walking around naked.
It sounds very much like Risky Business.
Well, it is a bit like that, but he had pants on.
With you as Tom Cruise.
And was better looking.
You're just doing it completely
I'm
nude.
I'm not so good looking. I'm very gangly and big in yeah. all areas. So I'm going around the house naked and I'm dancing to the very loud and singing.
Are you?
Lot of singing.
Yeah,
I'd like to apologise to my neighbours because there has been a lot of very loud singing. That kind of thing drives her partner mad.
Of course.
But she's not there.
Totally unfettered.
Okay. Unmonitored access to chocolate buttons.
Nice.
My girlfriend tends to try and stop me eating too many chocolate buttons.
Right.
But oh boy, have I been eating those buttons. You know those resealable packs?
Sure.
They're pointless. Why would you need to reseal them?
When you could just finish them off.
When they were all gone.
Did you actually got a secret stash that you found or anything?
Well, I did look for that. I ran out of chocolate, so I went to hunt for cooking chocolate.
Yeah. Cooking chocolate.
At the back of the cupboard.
Oh, goodness.
But I couldn't find there was some dark chocolate. Yeah, I'm not going to go that far. What else?
Are you rifling through any of her personals?
No.
No.
I wouldn't do that. That's awful. Because I wouldn't want her to do that to my personals. What, like going through drawers and stuff?
Diary, that kind of thing.
Why? That's a weird thing to say.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. So why would
that would be sort of assuming she was keeping secrets from me.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you
yeah.
think she is?
Everyone does.
Really?
Everyone does.
Okay, the next one is having the whole double bed to yourself.
Sure.
I mean, that's amazing. It means that you can stretch those legs out at any point without worrying about kicking her.
Yeah.
There's cold pillows, lovely, fresh, cool pillows.
It's always a lovely, cool part of the bed.
Always a cool part of the bed when you've got the area you're in all warm.
You can turn around luxuriously. You don't have to kind of turn yourself over in the same spot. You can roll right.
I mean, really, there's a strong argument for couples to have their own bedrooms with a massive double bed each in each room.
That's
don't you
what
think?
My parents figured out.
Before they separated.
Hi, this is A Sexy Woman, and you're listening to the highlights of the Adam and Joe BBC Six Music show. Ooh, this podcast has got me so hot. I'm too hot. I'm going to have to sit down and take off my cardigan. Ooh, I'm boiling.
Did you watch Silence of the Lambs the other day when it was on telly?
No, but I've watched it recently.
Have you?
I know it very well, yeah.
Oh, that is a film and a half, though, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, that stands up pretty well. When did it come out?
Ooh, 95, 6, something like that. Later. Earlier. Higher. Lower. Bruce's Babe. 91.
Early 90s.
James thinks even earlier, yeah.
The only thing that's dated about it is some of the SWAT team action is a little ludicrous.
Right.
When they're jumping
the
around.
The way they run and jump.
In formations. Right.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hut, hut, hut! It's a bit like that.
Oh, I like it.
But Jonathan Demme, I mean, he is one of the kings of cinema, isn't he?
He's very masterful. Terrific POV work there. A lot of camera work straight into the faces of the actors.
Yeah.
And an amazing thing he does as well, where the music climaxes after the picture climaxes.
Uh-huh.
So Hannibal Lecter will do something appalling, and the music's building to a climax. It'll cut to the next scene with Clarice Starling running down a corridor, but the music will still be building to a climax.
Right.
So it's almost like the horrible bits sort of resonate beyond what they usually would.
That's
and
right.
bleed into the next scene. It's
the
really
shock.
Cool. Amazing score. Howard Shore, I think, did the score. Really good score.
Howard Shore.
Getting a bit nerdy.
No, no. It's wonderful. It was a joy. It was one of those films that came on TV and you're thinking, I'm off to bed now.
Yeah.
First 5 minutes.
Can't
switch it off.
And the cross-cutting as well at the climax when you think the SWAT team are arriving at the same place where Clarice is about to get Buffalo Bill.
Yeah.
And it's cross-cut, but then they're cheating you and they open the door and it's someone else.
It's the kind of thing you've seen ripped off a number of times since then, but that was the first time I'd seen it when I saw that film. One of the fun things about, because obviously the thing that everyone impersonates.
Toughens your nipples, doesn't it?
Toughens the nipples, doesn't it? It's very enjoyable to go through doing the Anthony Hopkins during that film. But the other fun thing to impersonate in that film
is Buffalo Bill.
Yes, you do a good Buffalo
Bill. I mean, it's fun. You can pretty much talk like Buffalo Bill for days. It's really fun. Oh, wait. Was he a great big fat person?
That's good. It's unsettling.
Do you remember that line?
What's the put the lotion in the basket?
It puts the lotion in the basket.
He starts off all camp when he's got the girl in the well down there.
It puts the lotion in the basket.
And then when she refuses to do it, put the lotion in the basket.
You know who he reminds me of slightly?
Who?
Russell Brand. Do you think Russell Brand's flat is like that?
Definitely.
I think he probably does that thing where he pops his chap in between his...
Dances around, listens to the fall.
I bet he does that.
One of the reasons I was thinking about it was that I saw a thing about Family Guy on TV, you know, the cartoon series.
Mm.
And Seth Green, you know, the American comedian who plays the brother on that show, he said that the inspiration for the voice for that character is Buffalo Bill. On
right.
Science. That's how he went. He went in as a dare for the audition with a friend of his. He said, I'm just going to talk like Buffalo Bill right the way through the audition.
And he got it.
And he got the part, yeah. Fun fact.
Text the nation. Text, text, text. Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Text the Nation this week, listeners, is all about things you do when you're alone in the house, when your loved ones or cohabitees or carers go away and leave you for an extended period of time. What kind of illicit fun do you get up to when nobody's watching in your own home? You thought of a little something you did just then, didn't you, Adam?
I was basically staying in our empty house in London before it was sold, and so there was no furniture and stuff. And I found myself one evening, having got back from a gig, just lying in the bath, but you know, with no water in it, lying fully clothed in the empty bath, having a glass of wine.
Is that the sort of thing your wife would scorn if you did it while she was in the house?
I'd say legitimately she would.
She'd think it was eccentric and you were losing your marbles.
I wouldn't even do it. You know, I wouldn't do it in the family house with my children sleeping next door. Just lie there with my clothes on with a glass of wine.
The children would find it unsettling. They'd think Daddy was going potty.
What's wrong with Daddy? Why is he in the bath with his clothes on and a glass of wine?
Crying.
Doesn't matter, he's fine. I wasn't crying.
Sorry.
I was thinking about it.
crying.
I was thinking sad thoughts. I did catch myself and thinking and thought, this is not right. Why is this? Why am I doing this? I got out of the bath, didn't even finish the red wine, just went to bed.
You wouldn't be a very good surrealist, would you?
No.
You'd think, oh, this is just this weird.
This is absurd. What are you doing?
This melted clock on this branch. It's just disturbing.
What's with ants everywhere? This is ridiculous.
So here are some texts we've had in on the subject. This is from Pete in Dundee. Hi, I stopped smoking a few months ago, but when my wife goes out, I go through the bin and smoke her doubts. Doubts, is that a word for little stubs, like smoky stubbed?
I think maybe it's, where's he from? Dundee.
Dundee, yeah.
I think maybe it's a Scottish word.
Sometimes I have to dry them out on the radiator first.
So in a way, you haven't stopped smoking, and in another way, you're like a tramp.
It is very trampy behaviour. But I've got some sympathy for you there, Pete. Well, I don't know. I can't go into it.
That's desperate stuff.
Sometimes
man.
You have to go into bins. Sometimes you throw stuff away accidentally.
Get some doubts.
everyone's foraged in a bin for one reason or another at some point in their life.
What kind of laugh was that?
I don't know. It was an evil one. Let's move on. Matt from Ipswich.
All my different types of laughs in one bit.
Hi, Adam and Joe. Sometimes when I'm on my own, I like making up goal celebrations and practicing them in front of the mirror. My favourite one is the handle fist pump with the pelvic thrust.
Handle fist pump? How does that work? Like he's pumping a water pump?
Sorry, the one-handed fist pump.
the handle fist pump.
That was a better one.
Handel's Messiah and now Handel's fist pump. Played by the Royal Philharmonic.
Chamberpot 7, Lucien de Montfort Quartet, Proud Junior Fiddlers. All in massive effect on the terrace.
We're talking about things that you picked out of the bin there by the way of a text that we got on the Text the Nation theme. And we're all talking about things that you've had to pick out every now and again. James talking about having to retrieve some keys that were accidentally thrown away there. I mean, things have got pretty bad when you start having to rummage through the bin for whatever reason. And it's always the last resort, right? Mm. I mean, if there's any way that bin rummaging can be avoided...
It's just humiliating because there's a thin line between rummaging through your bin at home and rummaging through a bin on the street.
No, there isn't.
Is there a thin line between it? Well, it's exactly the same action, but just in a different context.
Yeah, but it's like if you think you've thrown something important away and you have to rummage through your bin, it's different to just thinking, there's a bin.
Well, no, that's on the street. That's what tramps think.
I think I'll have a little look.
I've thrown something important away in one of the bins.
You never see tramps making excuses.
In London.
It's my keys. I think I may have dropped them. That's the reason I'm doing this.
I'm sure my wife left her ciggies in here. One of these bins.
This is probably...
Trampist.
Trampist, racist, all kinds of things. It's almost certainly sexist. Is it?
Sexy.
Because tramps are so sexy.
Yeah.
One time, this is the most revolting thing, and here's an admission for you, that I ever did bin-wise, right? Mm. And I think I was probably home alone at this point as well, because it involves a takeaway. I got a lovely Indian takeaway, delicious Indian takeaway, yum, 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 yum. And I ordered too many poppadoms, right? Mm. Couldn't get through that. I was absolutely full, couldn't get through the poppadoms. Finished about 9 o'clock in the evening, absolutely stuffed. Chucked the rest of the poppadoms and the stuff in the bin.
And then later that evening, you
couple
had
of hours later.
You had a poppadom urge.
Thinking about the poppadoms again. Thinking, oh, chucked away a couple of whole poppadoms there.
Were they inside any kind of container? Or were they just at loose in the bin?
They were in a
sort of free range,
a paper bag, you know.
Oh, that's all right.
Well,
absorbent,
sort of absorbent.
Had it absorbed?
It was pretty ripped.
Some things ripped.
Some of them were loose. I picked the ones that were not soiled, and have snaffled those. There was still some mango chutney left in
really?
The as well. Yeah, I scraped it off the sides. A little extra treat.
You see, all you have to do is transpose that image to the Tottenham Court Road at 2 a.m.
Oh, I dropped my keys.
I'm a funny person. I often make up jokes. My jokes are more amusing than those of other folks. When you hear my joke, I think you'll find that you agree. Come on, you're all invited to a made-up joke party. Boing, boing.
Yeah, these are jokes that listeners have authored. It's very important to realise that, yeah, these are written by real people.
We get a lot, like, the more tortured they are, the better, right? Because we get a lot of jokes that are just a bit too good. And that's why they're not read out. And it's difficult. I feel bad sometimes because a lot of times people send in joke after joke after joke and say, you never read my jokes out. Often they're just too good.
And we're not sort of after deliberately bad jokes, are we? A lot of people just send us deliberately bad ones.
It's a fine line.
It's a fine line.
Do you think you've got one that meets our criteria?
Well, I've got a couple of actually good ones.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to go first?
All right, then. Here's one to get you going. This is from Ben Welling in North London. He says, Dear Adam and Joe, I'm not usually a profoundly intelligent person, but when I made this joke up, I felt I should apply for a scholarship to Oxford.
Yes.
Sadly, my friends think differently. Question, what is Santa's son called? Answer, subordinate clause.
That's good.
That is very good.
That's intelligent. That's definitely, I would let him into Oxford for that.
I mean, I would let him stay there as long as he wanted for that free. I'd give him a free
That's
boat.
That's really good. It's educational and funny.
Nice job, Ben.
Laughing and thinking at once.
Subordinate. I've never heard that before. Subordinate clause is great.
Yeah. You know what happens when you laugh and think at the same time? Just silence.
Just absolute silence.
Dead, deathly silence is the result, which is what happened there. Okay, here is one from Josh Lee. He says, I know it was a while ago, so I'm not sure if the feature's still going, but I made up a joke this week. Here's the joke. Quotes, Russell Brand had a nightmare. He was being chased. Brackets, only one of my friends got this without it being explained. Also, it doesn't work written down. It plays on the words chased and chased, sounding the same. That's excellent, the way he's explained it. I maintain it is genius and needs to be recognised as such. Well, we have done so, Josh. Well done. I think that's genuinely very, very good.
Respect delivered. Here's a couple from Dom Lawson. I don't know if this is Dominic Lawson.
Well, it's important. Let's find out.
Yeah, this is Dom Lawson in London. I don't think it's Dominic Lawson. I make up a lot of jokes all the time, so I struggled to work out which ones to send you. I decided to go with two of my more ambitious ones. They took a lot of work.
Uh-oh.
Why did Brigitte Bardot anger Elvis Presley? Answer, because you can make King's Cross if you're a star from Paris.
Oh, my God. That's good. Wow. Don't, I was going to say it again, but I've decided against
that. Why did
that.
Brigitte Bardot anger Elvis Presley? Why did she anger Elvis Presley? Because you can make King's Cross, he's the king of rock and roll, if you're a star.
No, I understand it in the context of the celebrity names, but it should work on two levels, right? So let's have a look at the second level. What would that sentence mean without the context of the stars?
Because you can make King's Cross if you're a star from Paris.
Because you can make King's Cross if you're a star from Paris. That's not a feasible sentence, really. So the second, you know.
I mean, the correct way of saying it is you can go to King's Cross on the Eurostar from Paris.
Yeah, now make a joke out of that and you've got your super successful joke. I'm not bringing it down. I'm just being pedantic.
You're very pedantic. Well, he's got another one. How about this? Hey, have you heard? I like the way he makes it conversational.
Hey.
The setup. Hey, have you heard of this?
The idea of passing this guy in the street and him grabbing your sleeve. Hey.
Hey. Hey, let go. Let go.
Get off me, freak.
You idiot. Oh. Hey, have you heard of this new reality
TV? Hey. Excuse me. Go on then, what's the joke? Come on, pull yourself together, man.
Okay. Hey, have you heard of this new reality TV show where members of the British public take it in turns to try and strangle Chris Tarrant with piano wire? It's called Britain's Garrote Tarrant.
That's good.
That is good, Dom Lawson from London.
Mind the gap.
Yes, it mind the gap. This is Adam and Joe here on Six Music. Now, presumably, Joe, you've gone out and you bought your copy of Bob Dylan's new album.
Of course.
Yeah, you would have done that on the first day. Well, I can't even remember what his new album's called. I've got it. Let me look it up.
It's called Look What I Found in That Bin.
I've dropped my keys, is what it's called. No, I'm not rummaging around for sandwiches. I dropped my keys. It's called Together Through Life. And for a time, it was certainly number one in the States for a while. I think maybe it was even number one here, too. He's done pretty well for, what is he, septuagenarian now or something? Must be. He is soldiering on. And I don't know, I hope there's no, because he was ill for a while, right? And he got over that illness a few years back. Like he was teetering on the edge there in an upsetting way, but I'm very glad to say he bounced back. But is there something actually wrong with his throat? I don't think so. I think that's just the way he sounds now, right? Have you heard him sing recently?
Not really. I'm a bit of a know-nothing.
You're not up on your bobo. I was thinking about maybe playing a clip of how he sounds, but instead I've done a song. Which more or less illustrates exactly what Bob Dylan sounds like nowadays. Here it is.
I've got a problem with my throat, and I've been searching for a lozenge. I don't mind if it's a blackcurrant one, but I'd object if it was orange. Shock. I coughed up something really scary. It had been there since the 60s. It had legs and it could speak, which I don't think is ordinary. I'm too busy to buy throat sweets for myself. I got crappy gigs to play and roads to travel. Maybe I'll revisit Highway 61, drink a cup of dust and eat a lot of gravel. It's amazing that a legendary oldster like me still gets up on stage and boogies. Kind of the people in the audience throw lozenges to me, and in return I let them have my loogies.
Wow. I didn't realize it was so lozenger orientated. It's mainly his current output.
It's all about lozenges.
He's fixated on lozenges, and no surprises, because you're right, he has got a very pronounced, distinct vocal style there that does smack of throatal problems.
Yeah.
I mean, sounds as if he's singing through an Anaconda-style baro-based tracheotomy.
That's right. He may well be, for all I know.
Throatiness can be, you know, can give a lot of character, can't it, you know?
Yeah, but there's character and then there's just like an medical insane level of croakiness.
Or it's getting into Muppet areas
exactly.
As well, isn't it? It's getting into kind of puppet territory.
Right.
Which is a good way for an older person to go because, you know, you start looking like someone out of the Dark Crystal.
He really does look like Skeksis, doesn't he? That's what he
Someone
looks like.
Someone should drape him, you know, drape some Hessian across his back. Well, there's probably, give him a little gnarled stick.
Yeah, there's probably a couple of sort of beardy Californians underneath him all the time, moving him around.
Yes. When are they going to make Labyrinth 2? Because they could save money on puppets just by putting all those old rock stars in there anyway.
Yeah, get Bowie back in, because Bowie's pretty craggly now as well.
He looks like a marionette.
But Bowie's voice, I mean, what's he doing with his voice these days?
I haven't heard Bowie's voice for a while. Well,
he's sort of fairly squeaky sometimes as well. He sounds a lot like...
I think he still sounds pretty much like he used to. He's a little more pompy and operatic, but maybe doesn't hit so many high notes as he used to.
But Dilbo, he is gargling with...
Dilbo Boggins.
Dilbo Bobbins. He's gargling with cactuses there.
It sounds good.
It's absolutely insane.
It's a good rendition. You should do a duet with him.
You know, I'd love to. If he's listening...
It's going to happen. I think it's almost guaranteed to happen.
You know what I haven't heard is him doing his theme time radio things, which are supposed to be brilliant.
Well, he works for this station.
Of course he does. We should. Can I get some copies? Because they, everyone says how amazing they are. I still haven't heard them. It's ludicrous.
Where does he, does he record those in New York? In America. We could go to America, though.
We could swap. Can't we do
Why don't we do a swap? We could go. We could do a three show.
He could do our show.
Yeah.
It's time for Text the Nation.
That would be good. I bet he's got some funny stories
this
about
week.
Rifling through bins.
Loads.
You never guess what I found last week. Sandwich, half-eaten, but it was good, still good, it was fine.
Adam's really great and he's wonderful. Joe is really, really, really brilliant.
They're fantastic.
But which one is the best?
It's Joe.
Can I just say, I wish I was Nick Grimshaw. Do you know Grimmy?
Oh, sure, yeah. I mean, he's on
so
T4.
Cool. I was in the hairdresser the other day, and every man in there was having his hair done like Grimmy.
How would you describe the Grimshaw cut?
Grimmy's got curly hair, and he has it sort of short at the back and the sides, and then kind of crazy and floppy at the front. Grimmy.
Short.
I was listening to him on the radio this morning before I came in. He just seems like the man of the moment, Grimmy.
Yeah.
The Grimshaw.
He's a good...
I want a little nickname like that. Jobo, Jobsies.
You've got loads.
Jobbles.
J-Corn.
J-Corn.
What's wrong with J-Corn?
You're right. Well, then I need better hair. I don't know. He's there's something about Grimmy.
I'll tell you what there is about Grimmy that you want. He's 20 years younger than you. That's what it is.
I'm not sure that he is, though.
He's cool.
I think he's 20 years older than me.
Really?
He just looks really, really good.
He's the man.
He's got a lackadaisical attitude.
Are you taking Grimshaw over Steve Jones?
Oh, yeah. I'm not. No disrespect to Steve Jones, but ever since he's turned up on yachts in the Caribbean with actresses from Heroes, I mean, see ya.
That's the
thing. Left the planet.
With Jonesy, that always seemed as if it was the plan, you know?
Mm.
He's too good-looking to be in the mud with the rest of us.
I don't know. Something about T4 gets on my nips.
Mm.
It's too lackadaisical.
Yeah.
It's like they throw the baby out with the bathwater. Whereas Grimmy, I don't know, Grimmy's just got a certain something.
Grimbles.
Grimbles at Christmas.
Yeah, he's great. He could do anything. So listen, Text the Nation, we've got a jingle that was sent in by a listener whose name is Ben Wizzet. And this is what Ben's come up with.
Text the Nation, text the Nation.
What about a want to?
Text the Nation,
but I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter, text.
That barbershop quartet would not last long.
No, there's something a bit disturbing about that type of music. It's a bit like the closing credits of The Shining or, you know, The Flying Pickets and Fascinating Aida and
He's
that
using
kind
a technique
of thing.
Known as not-so-close harmony. not that close harmony.
Slightly troubling.
Thanks a lot, Ben, though. That was good.
Yeah.
That sounded sort of dismissive and patronizing. That was good. But I meant it. Thanks, Ben. Text the Nation this week is about things you do when you're home alone.
Mm.
You got some messages there, Joe?
Yeah, John Smith from London. And this is stuff that you do when all your cohabitees and your partner leaves you to go away and you're stuck at home alone, just like what you said.
And
home alone. Yeah. This is from John Smith from London. He says, I tend to buy some red wine, watch The Notebook, then go to bed, distraught and inconsolable.
What's The Notebook? His computer?
Well, The Notebook is a... it's a film. It's one of those very romantic films. I haven't seen it, but girls are really into it.
Oh,
The
yes.
Notebook. It's super romantic. I don't know what happens in it. But someone must die. I guess somebody dies, and I guess he or she writes something very compelling. I'm just making this up.
Yeah.
In a notebook. There might be time travel involved, or is that the Richard Gere one?
No, that's The Lake House, isn't it?
Oh, The Lake House. Well, I haven't seen that notebook. One either, and that's another very popular weepy one.
Can't be popular, can it? That's one of the worst films ever
made. People love The Lake House.
Bullocks. And,
but people love The Notebook even more.
Sandra Bullocks and Keanu.
But that's a man doing that, so he's indulging in kind of, you know...
Lady behaviour.
Lady behaviour, yeah, super emotional lady behaviour.
It can
like
be
that.
Fun. Sometimes I do that. Sometimes I do a bit of lady behaviour. I have a special bath.
Do you? With scented candles?
Candle. I light a load of candles.
Yes.
And lie there, put some petals.
Do what?
Petals.
Petals.
From a flower.
Put some petals in the
bath. Put some petals from a flower. On.
Really?
Have a special bath.
I bet they look brilliant, bobbing next to your pits.
Make the, disturb the surface of the petals with a little airborne toxic event.
This is one from Jan. Hi, Adam and Joe. My girlfriend just left yesterday for a few days to Germany, and I felt exactly like Joe. I bought steaks, chocolates and cigarettes, brackets I quit a while ago because of her, and consumed everything almost at once, then watched 4 episodes of Battlestar Galactica, during which I felt very sick. I suddenly realised that without her, I probably wouldn't live very long.
This is the thing, isn't
That's
it?
That's very true. Your mortality, you suddenly realise, my God, you know, that woman really actually keeps me fit and healthy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know. All your parameters go out the window, don't they? I've been in almost exactly that situation. Who was that from?
Jan.
Jan, I can totally relate. I had one of those evenings where I thought, I'm going to watch Alien. I like to watch Alien once a year, right?
Right.
And I thought, oops.
Sorry. Hey, my keys have gone in the bin. Oh, I'm going to have to fish them out of the bin.
It's just an excuse so Joe can get the sandwich that Yare left in the bin earlier on.
I found an apple
pot. Now, I was having my Alien night, right? I thought, I'm going to watch Alien tonight. I'm going to project it onto the wall as well. I'm going to do it the whole 9 yards. And I'm going to make myself a gin and tonic. You know, 7 gin and tonics later. I'm pretty much on the floor. And I can't see, I can't move to switch the DVD off. And I just feel like an absolute disgrace. I'm totally out of control. And you feel sort of humiliated. And then you can't do any work the next morning. You feel so awful. The whole day's out
the
window.
The only thing to do then is just keep it rolling. That's the only tactic there. Just keep going.
Keep going.
Yeah. There's a lot of talk about performing various ablutions with the door open.
Oh, yeah.
People find that very liberating, not having to close doors.
Right.
You know, there's no chance someone's going to walk past and catch you in the act of various private business. Phil says, I'm not allowed to run up the stairs normally.
Flipping heck.
If she's not there and I need the toilet, I go down to the garage so that I can run up the flight of stairs. The euphoria builds gradually as I approach the top steps, fists clenched. I shout, yes, in your face!
What kind of relationship is that, Phil?
I don't know. Troubling.
Adam and Joe. My nipples.
Now, I feel as if I was let down by London this week, Joe.
Oh, dear.
Because I was out on my bike yesterday, rattling along, and when I got home, I realised that one of my saddlebags was no longer on my bike.
Uh-oh.
It had bounced the heck off and was just lying somewhere in South London.
Let down by London.
Let down by London. No one yelled at me or tried to alert me or come after me. And let me know. Now, I should say at this point, and...
Were you cycling with your headphones in?
I was.
Well, there you go.
Well, so don't go there you go, Torpedo Commander Cornish.
I'm just saying that you might not have heard them. Maybe they shouted at you and you couldn't hear them.
Yeah, but...
Is that a terrible thing to suggest?
Well...
Obviously, it is a bit.
A little bit, because I don't have my music that loud, because I do want to be aware of other road users.
Yes,
and,
good.
And I do want to be aware if someone does shout at me, like a cop or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't have my music that loud, but I was certainly not aware of anyone trying to get my attention. And the other thing would be, why couldn't they hail a taxi? And
pursue
and
you
follow
at,
me.
At their own cost.
Exactly.
What was in the bag?
I'll tell you exactly what was in the bag. I had a front light that I'd just purchased, price around about £20. A rear light, a really nice rear light, £40. Expensive set of waterproof trousers for the unreliable weather we've been having recently.
Cost
around about £60.
£60 for waterproof trousers?
Really nice Gore-Tex trousers.
Really? Were they like a diving suit? Were they actually watertight?
This is what you need to let your skin breathe and protect you from the moisture.
£60?
A nice mini pump.
Hang on, what have we got so far? I mean, that's over 150
it's over 100 quid,
isn't it?
£60 for the trousers.
A mini pump.
Mini pump, 15 quid. Set of audio adapters and connectors, I would say, in toto, probably worth around about 20 quid. There were some sweets in there that I'd snaffled
some
from...
sweeties? What sort of sweeties?
From a post-production house. Right, I'd just done a VO, just done a voiceover. That's what we call them in the industry, VO.
Yeah.
And I came out, you know, they have those big bowls of sweets in post-production houses sometimes.
Sweets.
In the audio suites. And so I went through there and I had a chewy Mauam bar.
Mauam. Haribo.
And the very beautiful receptionist lady recommended her favourite flavour to me. I was trying it for the first time. It was a wonderful moment, and I was going to celebrate by eating it later on. I had a new twist. I've never had a twist before. It's like a Cadbury's cream egg in the form of a chocolate
bar. Yeah, with goo inside.
I had a caramel in there. Not the whole, but they're like, you know.
What an amazing bag.
Yeah.
Of
all,
fun.
All lost. And finally, I had a little makeup cover stick in there as well.
Oh, did you? Yeah. For taking out the spots.
Yeah.
In really?
Case, you know, I very seldom.
They never work, you know. They're never the correct skin color.
No, it's this one.
They
was
always
perfect.
Show up.
This,
was it?
It was. It taken me years to find the
I
right.
I spent most of my teenage years with very pale blobs all over my face.
You were Mr. Witch Hazel, weren't you?
I tried everything.
Yeah.
When I went through a spotty squirrel,
I had the perfect shade.
What an amazing bag of stuff! I reckon there's that same tramp who we've been discussing all this morning,
celebrating with his
Gore-Tex
trousers.
Really lucky, yeah, because he's found this bag of goodies.
Walking
he's
around
got the twists
with my
he's
pump.
Got the it's just the connectors I need.
I don't know if I should have the Mauam now or the twist. My trousers are so waterproof. I'm going dancing in the fountain tonight.
He's going to have a party, that guy, that hobo.
No one came after me. Buckley's, you've dropped your pannier. It wasn't a pannier, it was
pannier.
A saddlebag. You've dropped your saddlebag because I thought I was in the black in the Karma Bank, right? I found that guy's wallet a few weeks ago.
You're the man who says in the past, I seem to remember you saying that anything that falls on the ground is public property.
No, when did I say?
We had a discussion about things you found. Once.
Oh, money, yeah.
Yeah, and generally the rule was if it's on the ground, it's anybody's. You were saying that was true in a shop, that if, like, you were in WH Smith's and a magazine has fallen out of the rack onto the floor, it's free.
I think that's how I tried to
the
justify
floor is public property.
Walking out with some chewing gum that I found in WH Smith when I was 11. I learned my lesson. My dad told me off and he burned the chewing gum.
I remember
Thanks
that.
For reminding me of that very traumatic incident.
Well, if you've seen Bucky Lees's bag, then please return it to BBC Six Music and you'll be rewarded with what?
Man, I could
with
give
a man.
You all sorts of things. Man, seriously, big rewards.
Tom in Liverpool says, for me, the best thing about my girlfriend being away is the ability to snore with impunity. I cough, snore, break wind, do whatever I want, and I never have to hear, oh, shut you, you disgust me. That's what he's written. Oh, shut you, you disgust me. I think he might have made a typing error.
Yeah.
Don't know. Here's one from Karen, but that's true, isn't it? To be able to
absolutely
let air out of your body from whichever passage it wants to
however
come.
Noisily you wish.
Yeah, that's liberating, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, not to be rolled over when, because I'm not a massive snorer, but on the very rare occasion that I do snore, I get very indignant when
someone
I get
complains.
Woken up. Because if my wife is snoring, which she does occasionally, we all do every now and again, I'll put my earplugs in because I respect her right to sleep unpunished. She, there's no question of her wearing earplugs. She taps me, "Quake, you're doing it again. Roll over on your side. You're doing it again. Can you wake up?"
Oh, weird. That's, it happens exactly the other way around in my relationship.
Oh, really?
Because my girlfriend does snort a lot.
Yeah.
And even with the earplugs in, it vibrates the bed. I'm like Evelyn Glennie or whatever she's called. I pick it all up through vibrations.
Yeah.
And I have to do that. I poke her. I've considered sellotaping a wooden cube to the small of her back.
Yes, that's one
I've
of the
never
ways
got to do it,
it
but I swear that's the solution. So every time she tries to sleep on her back, it's ow! Oh, just to go back on her side.
Oh, poor.
It will come to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I can appreciate it. It's very, it can split couples up, snoring.
This is one from Karen. I left my husband simply to go to work, and when I came back, he had constructed a pulley system to catch next door's cat. It involved a broom, sticky tape, and lots of string. My husband was sat in a cupboard holding the end of the pulley.
Good job.
So she's only left the house for a couple of hours, and he's put that together.
He must have had the plans already, though.
That sounds cool. You reckon he designed it?
Yeah.
Heath Robinson style.
Definitely.
Robin Birmingham says, often if I watch a film at home on my own and I've really enjoyed it, I start to discuss it out loud at the end as if I'm on one of the extra features tacked on the end of the DVD. I often have to stop myself, though, as I admit it could sound odd if the neighbours heard it.
Wow, that's certainly...
You shouldn't censor yourself, Rob. I chat away.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I miss about VHS. When Adam and I used to rent VHSs from his local video shop, we used to often audio dub them.
Yes.
You know VHSs would have an audio dub button?
Exactly.
We'd often change some of the audio, then return them to the shop.
to give the next renter a bit of a surprise.
You can't do that at all on DVDs.
Well, that's the
you?
Sort of thing Rob could do, but you can't do that on DVDs. No, I mean you could laboriously copy them onto another DVD and then put your own audio file on them.
Yeah,
but it would be more effort than just pressing audio dub like you did in the old days.
There was a distribution company called Hokusin, wasn't there? Front of one of the was it Turkey Shoot that we were watching?
Possibly. We used to re-sing the jingles.
Hokusin Video, what a super show! Watch them come and go with your favorite movies:
Superman, Star Wars, Emmanuel in 3D. That was how it went.
We dubbed it over.
Oh, those are the days. Here's one from Steph Dalton. When I am at my boyfriend's house and his housemates aren't in, I like to sit on the sofa with my bum out. Don't ask me why, because I don't know. I just have to do it when I'm there and they're not.
What does she mean with her bum out? Does she mean just...
Wait. I just pull my trousers, stroke leggings, stroke skirt down, just so my bottom is hanging out, and I just sit there and chillax. Love you both, big time saucy. And then about 15 kisses. Steph Dalton, office administrator.
You shouldn't say the name
in
of
Raynham,
company.
Essex. Why not? That's not. I haven't given her address or anything. I've just identified her in a way that people that know her can know that when they're not there, that's what she does. Sorry, Steph. You didn't say like.
Don't mention where
us.
I work.
Big, love you both, big
That's
time
gonna
saucy.
That's going to be pinned up on the board, the transcript of that. My skirt and my leggings.
Here's a good one from Patrick in Barnet. This is going to be the last one. Hi, Adam and Joe. While my parents were away, my brother and I would often transform our stairs into a bobsleigh run. Using mattresses and pillows, we would pad out the marble floor at the bottom and ride the sledge down the stairs. I've got videos of it on YouTube from Patrick in Barnet.
Stair fun is a big one.
I mean, that's a whole different conversation, actually. Stuff like we used to build big networks of tunnels with tables and duvets and, I mean, stuff that kids can do when they're at liberty in a house.
You're saying you don't no longer do this now that you're
grown up? No, I haven't built a network of tunnels in my front room for a while.
It's a mistake. You should get to it.
And we used to turn all the lights out and you had to crawl through them and your friends would... It'd be like a ghost train, you know? People would...
Is she back already or have you got another night?
I've got another night.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. Tonight's the night.
And that's the end of this week's podcast. Now here's a goodbye link.
Thank you. You've been wonderful. Throw me your dirty pants. I'll wash them and get them back to you. Thank you.
Well, that's pretty much it for our podcast this week, listeners. Now, by way of an outro, here's actually an intro that was recorded for us by Hector White and family. He says, "Hey, Adam and Joe, here's our idea for an intro to your show. We've attached our attempt at the Sparks song, 'This Town Ain't Big Enough for the Both of Us.' I recorded it with my mum and wee sister. There was a lot of sweat and tears, but we got there in the end. Hope you enjoy it and like our idea." Let's have a quick listen to what they came up with.
That's fantastic.
I mean, that's one of the most technically complicated songs they could possibly have tackled.
And it's really involving hearing them trying to get their voices around it, you know, and negotiate the tricky peaks and troughs of that composition. Wow, that's very endearing.
And you did a much better job than we ever could have done. So thank you so much for sending that in, Hector and family. Good job there. Well, I suppose that's it for our podcast. One thing I would like to say just by way of a plug is check out the BBC's new comedy website, bbc.co.uk/comedy. I've got a video on there and so do many other far more talented comedians than myself. Check it out, give it your support, and we'll be back with you next week at the same time.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Love you, bye.
If you enjoyed the Adam and Joe podcast, then why not try the John Richardson podcast? Download it now. bbc.co.uk/6music.
I've got Defiance to watch.
Oh, have you?
On Blu-ray, yeah. Defiance, Midnight Meat Train, starring Vinnie Jones, directed by Takashi Miike. And I got one more that was quite exciting because I got four for a tenner. Oh, Underworld: Rise of the Lycans. Yeah, you bet.
Uh.
That's what my bank holiday weekend
that's
holds.
What Joe's got coming up. The correct response.
I've had that for several days. I haven't felt the urge to watch it. That's exactly my response.
What a weekend.
I saw it on the show.
Second half of Australia. Rise of the Lycans.
Oh, I live a very rich, fulfilling life.